Are you ready to take your podcast journey to the next level? Then you're going to want to check out On Air Fest 2025, the premier festival for sound and storytelling. On Air Fest 2025 is where multimedia creators gather to elevate their craft while celebrating their community. Taking place in Brooklyn, February 19th through the 21st, On Air Fest 2025 features 3 days and four nights of live podcasts, performances, and parties. And this year's lineup is bigger than ever, featuring tech queen Taylor Lorenz, SNL's James Austin Johnson, Death, Sex, and Money's Anna Sale, and over 200 creators and storytellers. And because Advertising Week is a media partner of On Air Fest 2025, and you're part of our crew, we invite you to use our code AW10 for 10% off your pass. Get your tickets now at on-air-fest.com, and be sure to use code AW10 to save. That's on-air-fest.com with code AW10. We'll see you there. You're listening to Retail Media Unboxed, the podcast that goes behind the scenes of the fast-evolving retail media industry. In this one-on-one interview series, we sit down with top industry experts to unpack the trends, insights, and strategies shaping the future of retail and advertising. In this inaugural episode of Retail Media Unboxed, we sit down with Kara Pratt, Senior Vice President of Kroger Precision Marketing at 8451, to explore the evolution of retail media and its growing influence on the advertising industry. Kara breaks down how Kroger leverages data from its 96% loyalty-connected sales to create precision-targeted media strategies, why first-party data is becoming the gold standard for marketers, and how brands can drive meaningful engagement with customers. We also discuss the role of trust in loyalty programs, the shift towards channel-agnostic advertising, and the future of data-driven marketing in a privacy-first world. Thanks for listening. Kara, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Richard. Great to be here.
Tell us a little bit about your role at Kroger Precision Marketing 8451.
Well, listen, what a thrill to be the inaugural episode. Thanks for bringing us forward here and bringing, obviously, new content, new experiences, and new learnings for your listener base. Kroger Precision Marketing, put simply, is the retail media business of Kroger. We nest ourselves within 8451, which is a wholly owned subsidiary of the Kroger company. We run the analytics and activation assets for Kroger. How do we connect customers to brands? How do we help make really rich decisions that influence customer behavior, productive, healthy influence on customer behavior? So that is who Kroger Precision Marketing is. For those that are less familiar with Kroger, we operate over 2,700 store locations across the country, across a myriad of banners. So of course, Kroger is our core banner, but depending on different parts of the country that you're in, if you're in California, you'll see Ralph's. If you're in Oregon, you can see Fred Meyer. If you're in Arizona, you can see Fry's and many others. As the leading grocer in North America, we find it really critical to help our customers live easier lives. And that is really anchored in the premise and promise that we have, even within our media space. So I am fortunate to be the business leader of the Kroger Precision Marketing team. That means that I have accountability and responsibility end to end across our media assets. I've got an incredible team of hundreds of people spanning technologists, engineers, product talent, data scientists, our commercial org that's influencing strategy, partner relationships, capability curation, how we go to market and connect with our brand partners, our media operations team, our account management team, our media planning team. All of that is under my oversight. And it's an incredible mix of talent that is really passionate about media and about this new opportunity that has presented itself over the last 5 to 10 years. And fundamentally, we feel like we're still in such the early innings for the role that retailers and retail data can play to influence advertising.
Well, I'm in Oregon and I'm a Fred Meyer guy, so I have a vested interest in this conversation already. Kroger was very early to retail media. And as this is the first episode of our Retail Media Unboxed podcast, would you mind if we took a quick dive into the concept of retail media? Specifically, how do you define retail media at Kroger, and why do you think it's important to our industry as a whole?
Well, first of all, thank you for being a loyal shopper. We appreciate that, and hopefully you have a great experience. And over the years, you've been seeing greater relevance in the different content and experiences that we're able to provide you. It is such a thrilling time in the industry. We have been an early pioneer in the space, and I'm really proud at the role that we played and the responsibility that we feel and we carry about elevating standards in the industry and setting new pathways for the role that retailers can play to influence brands and influence businesses. Now, retail media really is two parts for the more mature retailers with the right breadth and depth and diversity of data and capabilities. The most common place that people first think about what retail media is more connected to retail commerce. It's more connected to advertising on retailers' owned and operated properties, the e-commerce engagements, whether it's through their app of a particular retailer or whether it's through, you know, their web design. How do we help connect customers to brands in a digitally constrained shelf? How do we help build baskets? That is a core promise and a core premise, especially as customers are increasingly leaning in for the convenience of buying online, whether they're picking it up in store or whether they're having their groceries delivered to their home. And of course, as you know, at Kroger, we offer both options. That optionality is really critical. That is where everybody's mind goes first. And that is a real opportunity to help brands make those critical connections. From an industry perspective, there's a much wider lens, more strategic lens that retailers, again, with the right density, diversity, scalability of data can provide this industry. And that's really around thinking about this retail data layer of understanding consumer behaviors holistically and how we can apply that intelligence to media that's consumed, not on a retail property, but through any other consumption patterns of media, whether it's programmatic, whether it's through social channels, obviously the addressability of CTV holistically. Of course, to deliver on that opportunity beyond data as a core foundation, you need the right partnerships. You need to create the right bridges. You need to have the right governance and responsibility of that data usage. And that's a whole nother ecosystem. That's a really critical ecosystem. The investment and the involvement into strategic planning with agency partners and brand planners is really heavily anchored in that space. And ultimately, measuring the effectiveness of advertising end-to-end, no matter where these dollars are coming from throughout the funnel. So we talk a lot about retail media is media, that mantra of the role that retailers can play. Again, there's a commerce component to it. There's a wider experiential component across more mid to upper funnel tactics. And that's been the journey of retail media holistically, and certainly the journey that we've been on now 7 years young.
Excellent. Thank you for that. Now that we've covered that part of it, let's cover Kroger Precision Marketing specifically. Let's go back a few years and talk about how you got started. Kroger Precision Marketing was born out of 8451, Kroger's data science company, which still exists. What is the relationship between the two?
Great question. So as mentioned just at the top briefly, Kroger Precision Marketing is nested within 8451. So 8451, wholly owned subsidiary of the Kroger company. And we have teams and talent that engages directly with Kroger, merchandising, retail ops, supply chain, as well as teams and talent that interface with our brand partners. And within the brand partner component, we've got degrees of talent and experiences and specializations. One of those specializations is, of course, is in media. And that's where Kroger Precision Marketing, that's our talent base, heavily anchored in the media assets, capabilities, and experiences. We have other commercial talent that focuses in other really critical spaces. The insights intelligence that's influencing category management or innovation plans or M&A and brands using all of this rich intelligence and understanding of consumer behavior to influence that equation. We've got teams and talent that's working closely on more incentive-driven investments. So the breadth of the organization is very, very wide. It's all focused on helping brands win, helping create a responsible connection to customers and drive behaviors and ultimately better business outcomes. So that's the relationship again between Kroger 8451 and Kroger Precision Marketing.
It feels like we've been discussing retail media much more as an industry coming out of the pandemic. In fact, I don't recall ever discussing retail media before the pandemic. I'm sure it existed, but I don't recall this. Why is that, do you think?
It certainly has been a very aggressive, accelerated topic and a capability set that many retailers are looking to get into. And you know, I think the reality is there's a consumer-driven change that has created ignition here, and there's market-driven change that's created some ignition and accelerated value that can come forward, you know, to the other side. On the consumer-driven change, convenience, consumer expectations, e-commerce has been a big acceleration, obviously pandemic-driven to increase the slope of growth. And we've studied on that slope of growth, but it's still a big part of buying patterns. It's still growing every year. In fact, many brands, they're seeing the majority, if not all, of their incremental sales coming from customers that are buying online. And many customers are buying, especially grocery and health and beauty products, they're omni shoppers, right? They're buying online. They're still walking in physical stores. But the connection points is really being harnessed through these digital means. So yeah, that's really a big component on the consumer driven change part. On the market driven change, very appropriately, very responsibly adjustments happening and expectations happening on privacy. Obviously, over the years, there have been some discussion on whether cookies would redact and what's the impact of cookie redacting taking place. All of that has frankly influenced different practices and processes. And this realization that there's a different degree of utility and different level of expectation for how data can be used to help build brands in really holistic ways. And so as we think about on the latter side, not just the funnel collapsing, but the accessibility of data being different, the reliance on third-party data going away, right? There's more first-party rich data out there that can help brands have better outcomes. In that space, when we've run campaigns with brands where they're running third-party audiences and our first-party audiences, what we see is the performance on first-party is a huge accelerant into the effectiveness of those ad campaigns. I just actually, just last week, I was talking to a client where now they wanted to play off third-party and first-party to understand for themselves. And what they shared with us off of their measurement standards was that our first-party audiences had an effectiveness index of 140. Off of what they were seeing from their third-party audiences. And the incrementality was significantly stronger. And so as we think through all of this change, I think it's around modern marketing for the marketers recognizing I need to show up differently, I need to engage differently, I need to invest differently. And to do that, I need different data sources at the start, and I need to modernize my practice, my processes, and my expectations. So a long answer perhaps, but I think deservingly so, because there's quite a few different components that are influencing this wave. And we certainly see this wave just continuing to build and grow and reset new standards for what sits in front of us. More immersive capabilities, heavy focus on content, and ultimately making sure that we can bridge both basket building investments and brand building investments.
For this next question, walk me through how you would work with brands.
Fundamentally, the value equation really sits on top of how we engage with understanding a brand strategy and a business strategy connected to a media strategy. And we can create a very purposeful bridge, because the reality is, as retailers, we win when brands win, right? We win when brands create a very disciplined human connection and ultimately sell products, move units. So we've got an aligned incentive together to make sure that we're responsibly using these investment dollars to help deliver against business outcomes. Many brands, depending on the state of the state, right, that they're navigating, some brands are looking to drive incrementality through net new households coming in, household penetration gains, because they're realizing they may have leakage, right? And they need to protect that leak and then go regain these households coming in. Other brands are really healthy from a share of wallet standpoint. And they're trying to figure out not necessarily gaining a net new household, but how do they grow buy rate? How do they get more units in the basket over a period of trips? And so that level of conversation on the business strategy and brand strategy tethered to what that means for audiences, audience planning, all the way to channel activation, all the way to assessing that through the right measurement tactics and continuing that loop of iteration and agility within that investment plan is really, really critical. So from a benefit statement, I mean, the two core areas that retailers that have the right depth, breadth, density of intelligence at a household level, those retailers can really play a really credible and incredible role on making sure those investment dollars work hard through the audience planning side, this precision audiences, spend those media budgets wisely, cut wasted spending, make sure that we're exposing the right customers to this right intelligence to drive business benefit, all the way down into precision measurement. And again, we're 7 years in, we've had a lot of learning. And through all these different learnings, what we're continually seeing is this data layer and data intelligence and the science overlays to identify the optimized audience against a business outcome performs. Over the last 2 years, we've been running studies on, again, how purposeful and responsible these audience assets are and impacting business performance. And for 2 years in a row, we've seen that we can expose 50% fewer impressions and deliver the same sales impact. Fewer impressions, it reduces the ad load, we reduce clutter, we have the same business impact. And then it's not just a short-term business impact. We're also saying that we have a 40% higher lifetime value amongst those that are exposed to the content. So there's real value that's tethered in the connection and coordination, but it comes down to business planning and brand planning tied to media strategy and media plan.
I want to jump to one of my most favorite topics. Let's discuss loyalty and rewards programs. When we had our prep call for this discussion, we went over some staggering statistics, and I'm still trying to wrap my head around some of these. One in particular was that 96% of Kroger sales dollars are now connected to loyalty accounts, which is absolutely incredible. If you don't mind, explain in layman's terms, or in terms I could even understand, why loyalty programs like these are so valuable to brands.
Listen, the foundation that we build our business on is through trust and value. Trust and value sit at the heart of everything that we do. And loyalty programs that are driving value back to the customer, and value can be looked at in very different ways from very different customers. It may be value for my time. It may be value for my money. There's a lot of different iterations, but at the heart of loyalty programs, it is around developing trust and connection and delivering value. We are fortunate to have had a mindset of driving the best impact and influence for customers, having a customer-first strategy and customer-first mindset and frame in all the decisions that we make, which dominoes into decisions of what products do we carry on the shelf, what's the price position on those products, how do we connect with customers and drive the right kind of incentive to go buy different products, how do we connect with customers through fuel points and other discounts. The level of personalization and precision to make that loyalty program continue to deliver on the trust and value equation is an important piece. That then sets the stage for having the right relationship that we have to nurture every single day, every single week, to maintain that level of intimacy and connection and openness that our customers want. And that means that we show up every single day with our customers and connecting with them in fun-for-you ways and practical ways based on what their needs are. We just released at the end of 2024 for our customers the ability for them to see their yearly checkout. We can give them exposure and they can have a fun-for-you way to understand how they're engaging with Kroger. And in there, you can see how many, you know, we can share what departments do they tend to buy, how many products were they buying, how much money did we save them through the year from discounts or those that are engaged in pickup or delivery, and even giving our customers an assessment of what team they may be on based on the products that they buy. My team came back as, you're on team protein. I've got two kids that here that are athletes, and my goodness, do we, you know, have a lot of Taco Tuesdays and Thursdays and Fridays that we navigate through. So anyways, just a fun for you way, right, to create the customer connection. But that sets the stage with our customers that then allows us to fuel these other experiences that propels our media business amongst other critical initiatives that we have too.
I love that you prefaced all of that with trust. That's not something I've ever heard associated with loyalty programs before. Not once. In every discussion I've ever had about that, nobody has ever put forth the word trust. That's fantastic. Looking ahead, where do you see retail media evolving in general, and more specifically, Kroger Precision Marketing's place within it?
I appreciate that question for a whole host of reasons. One, I am proud of the work that our team has done in our early years, setting stages and setting standards and kind of creating a vision that other retailers can look to as they look to get off the ground. And I think that level of responsibility that we carry is one that we are both proud of and carry with real focus and intensity and intentionality. And we're still so early. This industry, the digital industry, roughly 30 years young in the digital media industry. How consumers are engaging with content today, the expectations that the Gen Alpha generation is going to have on how content and experiences coincide and influence the behaviors and the decisions that they make. This is a special moment in time that we have to establish a new baseline. And as we look from a business strategy standpoint, we believe critically that there's three stages of our business design and framework that we need to continue to invest in and create new experiences around. And those three phases are being audience first, channel agnostic, and science led. In all of those different aspects, they feed and fuel a digital relationship and the digital connectivity that we can have by bridging together our data and the understanding of behavior with experiences. And we talked a bit on the audience planning side just a little bit earlier. How do we make it easier for brands to start planning with retail purchase data every single day? How do we continue to bring that forward? Because this purchase data reveals an incredible amount about behaviors and lifestyles, not just for brands we sell in our stores, but for non-endemic brands that don't sell in our stores too. Now, the conversations that we're having today in the non-endemic space with quick serve restaurants, as an example, is really exciting because there's a level of effectiveness and efficiency and engagement that they have interest in exploring with this data as well. So there's a big component there on audience planning. What does that mean? What are the partners? What are the data sources? How do we continue to augment the intelligence we have on this behavior responsibly? Second, on channel agnostic activation. This industry, the value that can be tethered off of the retail media component spans many, many channels. And we have to bring a degree of simplification, remove friction out of the process in the chain of buying. How that entire media supply chain works, if you will, for where there's inventory and what people are willing to spend for it and how you overlay brand safety guardrails and more. There is an opportunity to simplify that entire ecosystem, again, through the right bridges, but make sure that we maintain a level of being agnostic across channel for how the value can be seen on the retail data layer of our assets. We have had a relationship with Trade Desk for many years where media buyers can be utilizing our audience assets there within their own seat, within their own safety standards, within their own negotiated rates. And last year in 2024, we extended that with Yahoo. We have relationships with Meta. We have relationships with Pinterest. We have relationships with Roku. We have relationships with Disney. Now, those are really important bridges because of the channel agnostic nature. Consumers are engaging with content in all of those spaces. And last on science-led. Science-led to influence audiences and science-led to influence measurement and give visibility into performance. Measure what matters. Get the KPIs right. Are you focused in on sales lift and sales incrementality on its own? Do you need to get that through buy rate? Do you need to get that through household penetration? How does that change the creative overlays in content? How does that change the channel? What influences the frequency of that media? All of those will come together. So it is a really special time to be influencing. We believe fundamentally we need to be influencing all aspects of that, audience first, channel agnostic, and science led. And we believe that this industry is still just getting started. Like, don't underestimate how much untapped potential exists with retail media.
Well, Kara, I thank you so much for taking the time to be on the show. I could not have asked for a better guest for the first episode. This was fantastic, and I appreciate you taking the time.
You bet. Well, grateful to be here with you. Thank you, Richard, for that. And thanks for what sits ahead. Good luck to you and the entire Unbox podcast. I think it's going to be phenomenal. And based off of, as you well know, the industry and curiosity about retail media and the evolution within retailers and agencies and publishers and ad tech companies, I imagine you're going to have a lot of good listeners tapping into all the episodes that come forward. So thanks for having me.
If you enjoyed this podcast, please consider sharing with friends and colleagues and leaving us a positive review on your podcast platform of choice. For more content like this, be sure to check out Advertising Week's growing roster of podcast programming at www.advertisingweek.com/podcasts.